out there on the internet, and welcome back to another week of the best little Horde House in Azeroth, or Horde House for short, that show about all things World of Warcraft, but never too seriously. My name is Rob Roberts. I'll be joining you over the next hour or two with the one and only Extifer.
Hello.
Hi, Extifer. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine, and you?
Not too bad. It's been very busy. It's been a very busy week, but I'm happy to sit down and do a show tonight. There's lots of news. There's lots of WoW stuff going on.
I know, right?
Lots of Warcrafty things to talk about. But how is non-Warcraft life for you right now? You doing all right?
Yeah, I'm doing okay. Let's see. Last week, I did the Spinal Tap. So we did the show, and I did the Spinal Tap the day after we did the show. So I guess that was okay. It wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be. Since then, I've just been waiting for results and dealing with a weird pin pain, like pin, I guess, needle pain, I guess. It's weird to describe, but I have this like weird pain in my back where you'll feel like a prickling sensation, like a needle just got jabbed into my back.
Okay, suddenly now it's the Dr. Drew show. Jeez.
Yeah, I know. So do you have any advice?
Have more sex. I don't know.
Oh, okay.
All right.
No, but I don't know what to do, but I'm having, this whole week has been me trying to get a hold of my doctor, and he hasn't returned my phone calls, so.
I'm glad to hear, that you sound fine. You sound like your normal sassy self, so just, All right. Well, I want to introduce tonight's guest, but first let me work out some plugs real quick. Visit our website at hordehouse.com, hordehouse.com. And, of course, you can also visit our guild. We are on the Drendon server, Horde side, of course, Best Lil Horde House. And all the information is on our website. Let's bring back a guest from a few weeks ago. You guys had a lot of fun when he was on last time, and we decided to invite him back for one more go. Everybody say hello to Sunshine!
Hey, everyone.
How you doing, Sunshine?
Oh, sorry. I just had to, take a huff of computer cleaner. I'm good now.
Because now it's your namesake. Or John, or I don't know what else you like to be called, but Sunshine on our show, as far as we're concerned.
So. Mm-hmm.
All right. How you been doing lately? What's new? What's new with your characters? Have you spent any more money lately?
Actually, I have. Just a little bit, but don't, like, judge me or anything.
Wait, I gotta say that if you didn't hear the show, like whenever you were last on, like 5-6 weeks ago, John has spent $900 on microtransactions in WoW.
And don't worry about us judging you; that's already happened.
Oh yeah, we did that last time.
Yeah,
I guess that's true. Is this like the follow-up episode where like I've been to rehab and you're like 6 months later?
This is the sentencing, we like to think. After we've judged you, now we sentence you.
Oh,
all right.
This is the reunion show where we all have cat fights on the stage.
Exactly. I see.
So you have spent more money.
Yeah, but one of them I had already announced on the show. I did race change my mage, and like I'm happy I did that because it was something I regretted anyway. So I went through with that. She's a Draenei again.
So not only did you pay money to change her once, but you paid money to change her back.
Yeah, I mean, that was kind of the catalyst, I think, for me being like, wow, maybe I'm a little bit taking this too far. So, yeah. And the only other thing I did is that I brought my Paladin and my Shaman back to my Alliance server because they'd just been sitting on random Horde servers doing nothing. So I was like, you know, I'm just going to keep all my characters in one place. And so I did that. Haven't spent any money since.
Okay, wait,
but...
hold on. You moved two characters away from your Alliance guild to a Horde guild on another server, and now you've brought them back.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Just checking on that. Okay, so I just want to, so that's $55 each. So that's $110 that cost. And then how much is a race change? 15?
God, I don't know anymore. I mixed them all up.
I'm trying to tally up the tote board because right now we're up to, let's see, looking at the tote board, about $1,050 you've spent on WoW.
Something like that. And I mean, you have to remember that the like magical Afro lion is going to be hitting the pet store soon.
Yes.
So it's another 25.
So you're all for pets to pay $25 for.
Yeah. I'll still do the pets.
I want one of your paychecks. Like, seriously. Or you could just gift me a bunch of stuff and WoW and I'll be fine. Be set.
We're going to start charging for the show, but only John.
I just want to spend your money.
You know
to
what?
To be fair, this has been over a couple of years.
It's so. His money, and he can do whatever makes him happy.
You know what? His money, it might as well be mine.
No one criticizes you, Extifer, for all of the gay pornography you've bought.
Oh, you know what? Actually, I think there's a lot of people that criticize me for that.
All right. But. Anyhow, okay, so you have spent more money. Anything else we're missing?
Let's see. Race change to server changes. No. Until the magical, what do they have? They even announced a name for that
yet? I don't think so. A lot of people are calling it Winged Lion, but I didn't like that. So I think on Hordehouse.com, I called it the Golden Afro Sphinx, because that's what it kind of looked
okay,
like.
Okay, yeah. I like that better.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, I'll get the Golden Afro Sphinx.
And Extifer, yeah. That's Golden Afro Sphinx, not sphincter. Just so you know, there's a difference. Because if you have an Afro sphincter, you might want to, like, you know, have that treated.
Just or... You know, you might want to ask your hairstylist why they did that to your sphincter.
You know, I hate to interrupt, but speaking of sphincters, I'm actually logged into Drendon right now on the Horde House Guild, mm-hmm. sitting in trade chat, and let's see, Mustis from the Drendon server, Horde Side, said, "My ass bleeds."
Oh, see, I love this. I've obviously, I do the Orange Lounge Radio on Sunday nights, which is the show I've been doing for like 9 years. And we have a live chat room, and it's a lot of fun doing the live show. And someday we're going to get this show to be live again, too. We had a lot of fun doing our live show. I like having a live chat, but I love having the WoW chat, especially, you know, kind of with the unsuspecting folks. So you're in trade chat during tonight's show, so we could kind of like troll trade through you tonight?
Oh, my God. I think we kind of have to now.
Okay. So can you type in trade chat real quick? Hey, guys. Who's buying the Golden Afro Sphinx?
All caps or?
Yeah, all caps. You got to get your point across. All caps.
Who's? I'm spelling it WHOSE.
You do whatever you want.
Yeah, you need to
take some artistic direction. All right. Then let us.
And then draw a penis with ASCII art.
All right.
Okay, let's see what type of responses I...
Okay, while we wait for the responses, what characters are you playing these days? How many 85s do you have?
You know, I can't remember if my mage had hit 85 at the time I did the last show, but my mage is 85 now. I'm working on a druid, Lion Side, and so that's kind of been where my focus has been. I've also been spending a lot of time on the Horde House Guild, which I've been having a lot of fun with. I'm leveling an undead hunter. His name is Bone Grabber.
Mm-hmm.
And he's level 35 right now. So he's kind of taking a back seat at the moment because I got into doing my druid, but not doing my druid because that'd be gross, but you know, playing my druid.
Yes.
But yeah, I'm having fun just seeing all of the Horde stuff again because I haven't played Horde in years and my first character was an undead.
When you're doing your druid, which form are they in?
Doesn't matter.
Oh, okay.
All right. Did you get any responses?
I just don't want them to get splinters, you know, if they're in the tree form, that's all. You don't want
splinters.
Didn't
they get rid of tree
form?
Oh, no, you have like 30-second tree form now.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have
30-second splinters, they suck.
Yeah, there's like the hipster tree form. Let's see. They're talking about Justin Bieber. Sounds like he got rabies from a beaver. And okay, anyone who has Bieber fever needs to get a brain scan.
So no, it's just you're being ignored right now.
Pretty much.
Yeah, this segment's going to fail miserably. That's all right. All right, now before you came on tonight's show, you said you had a surprise for me that you wanted to talk about on the show.
I did, and you know, because I didn't want to, you know, I wanted an authentic response from you.
Okay.
Because I've been leveling my druid.
Mm-hmm.
He's level 84 right now.
Uh-huh. Which druid is this? Your alliance? Your boot
yeah,
camp?
Yeah, that's yeah. Okay. Well, actually, I can tell you a little more about what's been going on with him in a minute. But
okay.
He's level 84, and I know this is going to break your heart, but I entirely skipped over Aldum.
I'm so sad. Why did you do that?
It's not that I hate it. Because it's actually one of my favorite zones.
But clearly you do, because you skipped it.
Wow, you guys are having a heart-to-heart. I'm going to go pee while you guys discuss this.
Have fun with that.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, like, I like Aldum, but I just recently, you know, I got my priest to 85, like, the first week that Cataclysm came out, and then waited a little while. Then I got my Death Knight up and my Mage up, so this is the fourth time I've been going through these zones in a relatively short amount of time, and I'm like, yeah, I don't know if I'm ready to do Aldum yet, because, you know, I don't want to, like, overdo it and then, like, not enjoy it. So I was just kind of like thinking, you know, I'll do something different. So I've been doing a lot of dungeons on my druid, and I spent a lot of time in Deep Holm. That's actually the zone I've done the most in. Otherwise I've just been using the dungeon finder. So
I realize this news might seem anticlimactic to some people, but to me it's like he got a divorce from Oldham.
Yeah, that's true, because who's echoing?
It's Extifer.
That bitch.
We need to buy him a headset for Christmas. All right.
Apparently.
What were you going to say, Extifer, before we were criticizing you?
I just got done going pee, so I don't know what you guys are talking about.
All right. Look, we got to move on to how was your week in Azeroth. But anything else, John, that you want to get out there about your love-hate affair with Oldham or anything else?
Yeah, I mean, it's not that I hate it. I mean, I've even said, like, pretty much word for word that if Aldham was, like, a standalone game, I would like play it over and over. So it's not that I hate it, but I know you were gonna be a little saddened to hear it.
You just take in a little bit. You need to be with other people for a little while.
Yeah, I mean, because like you and I are like presidents of the Aldum fan club.
Exactly.
So. But I'm just taking a temporary break.
All right. We always like to talk about our weeks in Azeroth and the stuff we have been doing in the World of Warcraft. Extifer, how was your week in Azeroth?
My week in Azeroth has been PvPing most of the time on the Worgen that I'm leveling with one of my friends on the Sengen server. I did get a little bit of playtime on my Death Knight on Drendon, actually last night. No, it was two nights ago. Got a little playtime on that. But yesterday, the Comcast gods did not like me, and I didn't have a good internet connection. So PvPing was really stupid, because every single time I cast a spell, I was probably dead, but I didn't know it because I was in the infinite casting stance, you know? That you do when you have bad lag.
Oh yeah, where like your characters are they dancing in place?
Yeah, yeah. And then you see suddenly I'll see a rogue like right behind me and I'm dead. And that's the end of it.
Yay, lag
spikes.
So
that was my night playing WoW last night. But otherwise that's what I've been doing pretty much. Drastic.
What's your favorite battleground right now in the mid-level ranges? Because you're what, about 30 on your alliance whatever's?
I'm 36, I believe, right now. Eye of the Storm just opened, but we're not able to get into it for some reason. I don't think a lot of people queue for it, because the couple times that we've queued, the time that it comes back with is unavailable.
Oh wow.
And we end up staying in the queue for a long time. So all we've been doing is Arathi Basin. We don't like Warsong Gulch at all, so we never queue into that. We actually played Warsong Gulch once last night, and it was so boring and stupid, and we it was also my internet connection was kind of a bad thing too. So but otherwise Arathi Basin is probably my favorite so far. And we always have our same strategy. We start out with going to the lumber mill, and we will defend it pretty much the whole time, unless we die, unless like there's a
that's
a
what big... Irene and I do every time we PvP Arathi Basin. We just go to a lumber mill, or I mean we go to gold mine and defend it the whole time.
Gotcha. Yeah, we've been doing the lumber mill, and then we sit there and we wait for people that, you know, are coming to attack us. And unless there's a big group.
Do you literally slash sit just to get your point across?
No. I'm actually looking at the battlefield, and I'm pretty sure my friend who I've been playing with, we both, like, sit there, and the lumber mill's pretty cool because you can kind of see what's going on in the other parts of the battleground.
Yeah, you can just kind of look out and watch, yeah.
Right, right, and you can see when people are coming up and kind of, like, you know, anticipate enemies coming up to try and kill you. So that's, I think that the lumber mill has been fun. Even if you're not doing a whole lot when you defend, it's kind of cool to see, you know, what's going on and anticipation for anything that's going to happen. Like, I love it when I see a rogue, like, run halfway up the walkway to the lumber mill and then disappear. It's like, okay, I wonder if a rogue is going to stunlock me, you know?
I wonder if someone just stealthed. Yeah.
Yeah. So, anyhow, that's what we've been doing.
Cool deal.
Yep.
All right. How about Sunshine? What's been new with you? What have you been doing this week? I know you talked about kind of what characters you're playing, but what have you done this week specifically?
Yeah, it's actually been a kind of eventful week. So it's good that you had me on this week and not like a boring week. I spent a little time on my Hunter. Like nothing too. I mean, because you're talking about week like. Tuesday to Tuesday, right? Not just well, like...
You know what? If you fudge it a little, no one's going to know.
Yeah, that's true.
So like, just guess. Like,
No. How was it Tuesday to Tuesday?
And it needs to be 6 p.m. Pacific to 5:59 tonight.
And write it in a 5-paragraph essay form.
Fuck that.
Okay.
I've done a few... I did a lot of dungeons on Bone Grabber, my undead hunter. And...
I just realized what a horrible name that is.
Yeah. I'm surprised that you're surprised, actually. Yeah.
All right, yeah. So you have a undead character named Bone Grabber.
This is coming, of course, from the guy who had me make, and I don't know if you remember this, Rob, but when we first started playing WoW, you had me make a little gnome called Saggy Balls.
I didn't do that. That was
yes,
your idea.
Yes, you did. No, it wasn't my idea. I remember you specifically said, I was like, okay, what kind of name should I go for? And you were like, Saggy Balls. So I have it. I still have the character, too, I believe.
I don't even remember saying that. Your hand. But I'm old and have all
screenshots are GTFO.
I will.
You know,
my
actually,
favorite was we named all our characters after medication. Like, yeah. Weren't you Ambien and I was Claritin and I don't know. Like,
yeah, and Ambien is actually my rogue on Blade's Edge. You're a server. I had to change the name, obviously, but
and I think Valtrex was somebody, and yeah,
yeah,
everybody.
Yeah, I think Irene was Valtrex.
And I like what your sister does too. She names characters a lot of times after like brands.
Uh-huh.
Didn't she have a character named Pop Secret or something, or was that something else?
That was actually, that has nothing to do with WoW, but when we were coming up with names for, we had web TV. And we were coming up with names for our, like, email accounts. And she was like, okay, my name is Pop Secret.
I thought she had a hunter named Nutter Butter or something. I could have sworn.
Nutter Butter?
I don't know why. I thought for some reason.
She had a character on our Alliance server named Britta. So.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's usually her name on her characters is Britta. Or she does Annie Mall. Mm-hmm. Is the other one because her name is
well,
Annie.
No, that's not a brand name.
See, I figured that Brita was like a Brita filter.
No.
Oh.
Well, it's I don't know why she did that, but it's
it could have been.
It could have been, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, speaking of characters on our Alliance server and extra for making offensive names, Rob, do you remember how he signed our guild charter with a little shaman named Astifer?
Yes, I do remember Astifer.
I think, yeah. I'm sure Astifer is probably still in the guild, actually.
I never deleted the characters, so it's still there.
I remember you distinctly saying that, like, oh, I'll just wait for someone to report it. And
nobody
well,
did.
You never but, play you know, it, it can't never, get reported.
Right, I never really leveled that much past, I think, 16. Is the most I leveled on that character, but yeah, that was my paladin, and I have this, I don't like paladins very much, and I have never leveled a paladin past like 20, And maybe that's the reason why I don't like them. I didn't really get to experience the great awe that is Paladin, you know. But when I created that character, I'm like, what is a derogatory name that I can kind of tie into my, you know, handle that I usually use, Extifer? And we came up with Astifer.
Well, going back to what started all.
That's nice. Yeah, I thought this was about my weekend.
I know. I just want to say, though, I love the idea of doing brand names. And I was just thinking the other day while in the kitchen, I was like, I really want a character named Palmolive. And I'm going to do that someday, just so you know.
Well, you should check and see if it's available on Drendon.
We'll see.
It'll be perfect.
All right, so back to your week.
Yeah. So anyways, back to me. No, go ahead. I'm sorry. So the other day I was thinking,
interrupted Rob. I mean,
no, I'm an equal opportunity offender.
All right. You're weak.
Go ahead.
Sunshine. Yeah.
Go ahead.
Wow, Extifer, raid leaders must love you because you interrupt all the time.
Thank you. And now I have a phone call. So, bye.
Wait,
LOL, bye,
does
bitch.
He have a phone mounted on the wall from 1940? What the hell is that noise?
Oh, everybody does it now. Okay, muting my microphone.
Please. God damn.
Is that really his phone? That sounded ancient.
I don't know. That sounds like one of those things where he's got to dial the operator and she's got to put in the plugs to connect the call. What the hell was that?
I don't know.
Anyway. All right.
Let's see. So I did a few dungeons on Bone Grabber. It's funny because, like, I ended up having, like, 10 Scarlet Graveyards in a row because I was kind of at that level where it's like, oh, Scarlet Graveyard. And a couple of times, like, I ended up doing 3 or 4 in a row with, like, the same tank and healer. So that was kind of cool. Mm-hmm. And then, like, we ended up in, like, Nomergon for some reason, and it was like, what? So, yeah, it's been kind of cool because, like, I got into Razor Fen Crawl. That's the one with the bats, right?
Maybe. I think so, yeah. It's like the thorns. It's all the thorns, right?
Yeah, with, like, those...
Well, there's Razor Fen Downs and Razor Fen Crawl. And Razor Fen Downs is brown, and the other one's, like... another poopy color, like gray or something.
Yeah, I don't know. It was one of the Razor Fens, and it was kind of cool because, like, I hadn't seen that since I played a Horde, because, you know, it wasn't as easy to get dungeon groups
together. The dungeon was so old, it was new again.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't even think they redid that one, but yeah, it was interesting to see it again. So, yeah, I did a little bit of bone grabbing, and, mostly, I've just been doing my druid, though. Why do I keep saying doing my druid? I'm a little bothered by that.
Yes, that's the lingo. All
right, I was thinking, I wonder if I've gravitated towards my druid because, like, it's kind of like I can race change anytime I want. If I'm, like, tired of my appearance, I'll be like, oh, I'll go in kitty farm or something like that. So, yeah, I've been spending a lot of time on my druid. He was still 80. Like a week ago, and now he's 84. He just got to Twilight Islands. He, for the longest time, he was like my main alliance characters, and kind of had to take a backseat once we started raiding, and I spent more time on my priest. So, I mean, it's kind of been a little nostalgic, like, spending time on him again. He, for the longest time, was a balanced druid. Like, I leveled him even before Wrath, like, as balanced. He was even healing, like, low B dungeons as a balanced druid, and just as I've been leveling him, I decided to take him feral, and it's been interesting. I mean, I don't regret it, but it's been tough getting used to because I'm leveling him as a feral tank, which is kind of tough. So, I mean, it's a whole new thing to learn. So
it's like you're trying to master every class, and wow, I think you have one of everything, it seems like. Is there any characters you don't play? Like any classes you just won't or don't play?
No, I have everything. And I mean, for the longest time, my Night Elf Hunter was... he's still my lowest one. It's not that I hate hunters, but now I've been playing Bone Grabber, who's an undead hunter, and I've really loved it. So, I mean, it probably means my poor Night Elf Hunter is just going to be like... even more abandoned now.
It's all right. You could spend $55 and move the other one and make it an alliance.
My God. I'm basically Irene now, aren't I? I have two hunters.
Oh, God. You are. All right. Yeah, well, anything else for your week? Because I've got to get into raiding. Speaking
of
which.
Let's see. Yeah, actually, last night, I mean, it's not super eventful, but since you were not able to make it online, I actually led a raid. It was just Baradin Hold, but it was pretty good. We had 9 out of 10 guildies, and we got him down on the second try. Like, the first time, we just had some curse problems, or the magic, whatever it is that he does, so a couple people dropped. But the second time, we had the Shadow Priest help out with the dispels, and it went great. We had like a minute left on the enraged timer.
You guys
timer, so.
Always have the best luck when I don't go.
Oh yeah, and we got all the raids down in Kingslayer again, just to spite you know. Nice. So I mean that was kind of interesting because like I hadn't really led a raid, like actually led a raid. I can't.
Read a laid.
Shut up. Yeah, I hadn't led a raid since Wrath. Like I think I started us out with the first couple ICCs, and I'm like, someone else can take over. So yeah, it was kind of fun.
Sounds like you did a good job. You did better than the other guy usually does, namely me. So there you go. All right.
So yeah, that's been my week in Azeroth.
Well, let me talk about my week in Azeroth a little bit, especially since hopefully Exfer's still gone and won't interrupt me.
I'm here.
I was going to say, I can take his place.
Bummer. All right. La, 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 la.
I think it sounds like...
I leave you guys for like 10 minutes, and you guys are still on John's week.
Well, yeah, who was... Well, it was John's week. Who was calling you from 1940?
My Mom Tefer was calling. Sorry.
Oh, that's right. Mom Tefer's not allowed to know you have a radio show.
Does she know you play WoW? Like... I know we have a guildy alliance side whose mom and girlfriend and like everyone plays WoW. You should get her to...
I couldn't keep that a secret.
That yeah, I you, WoW. you should get her to play WoW and make a character named Mom Tefer.
No. Very well.
Although, yeah, where that other our other guildy mom should come. Well, she hasn't been playing in a while. I haven't seen her on. She must be on hiatus. She needs to come back on and then come on the show.
Sorry, bitch. I think she's doing the best she can on her own.
Fine. All right. Let's see. I'm going to move on and talk about my week. Raiding. Okay, so I led the raid on Monday, and we were going to do Baradin Hold, and we didn't do it. We hit the enrage timer, and we wiped probably about 5 times, and I don't know, a couple times because of curses. And so, our tank was having major is AT&T. So I guess all internet providers have issues because he was having AT&T problems and kept dropping. He dropped like twice during the raid, and that was causing problems. But the one time we almost did it, we were within like 150K. So I totally had a Ferrari moment. She would have been very proud if she's out there listening. And I just started like calling people out. And I'm just like, you know what? Why is everybody eating food from the plus 60 pot? Where's your plus 90 food? Why isn't anybody flasked? Why are we wasting our time? I just ask Sunshine. He was there. I got kind of irritated just that it just wasn't working. And so like I made an invite on the calendar for Wednesday, which ironically I didn't even end up going to. And it said like must be able to do 10K DPS to attend, must have 90 food, must have flask, or don't bother signing up. Like it was really cunty. But you know what? When I heard everything went so well last night, I'm kind of like, well, I guess it kind of justifies me being a bitch. Like I guess it motivated everybody to do better. Because I even remember going, healers and tanks are not exempt because we died once to curses and we died once to tanks not knowing how to switch. So everybody needs to figure their shit out. Am I lying, Sunshine? I mean, I felt bad.
As far as the tank
I don't like
switching,
being mean.
I don't know what happened. Like, my taunt seriously missed that one time. So, I mean,
you better
I don't know what
figure
happened.
Figure it out.
But, I mean, no, it was you guys tough got love. It, I mean, I think people needed to hear it. To know that, you know, if we're going to tackle raid content, I mean, we're not trying to be uber hardcore progression, but, you know, if we want to do stuff like we were in Wrath, people have to work. And, I mean, I wasn't exempt from that. I'd ran out of tank food. Well, but, I mean, that's no excuse. So, I mean,
you're right. Tough love is the term for it. And, you know, I honestly think, and I'll say it, I think it's easier to lead a hardcore raiding guild than it is to lead a social guild or be an officer or whatever in a social guild. Because you have to walk a very fine line in a social guild.
Right.
Yeah, and I mean, like, Exfer needs to put his mute button on.
Seriously, Exfer.
I'm going to slap him.
You need to buy him headphones.
Yeah, and I mean, I think it can be tough because, you know, like, people are your friends and you don't want to be, like, bossing them around. That's why, like, as an officer, I've kind of had to, like, you know, just take a little bit of a backseat because, like, I want to, like, try and help people with their problems. But, you know, people just want to do their own shit and work it out themselves. So I agree. But I think people needed to hear that, and it was effective. We did so well last night. So
yeah, that was me having to get a little bitchy. So, you know, I'm glad to hear it worked out, because I don't like being the bitch, because everybody is my friend and I don't want to make my friends sad and whatever. But what can you do? It's just...
We had a shaman that quit our guild recently.
Because of Ferrari?
No, because we're all apparently racists. They had this long tirade that they wrote on our forum about how they hate everybody.
Well, are you racist?
No.
Okay.
I'm not racist. I love everybody except for the people with browner skin.
Stop. All right.
See, it's ironic because I was just thinking, I'm surprised that Exifer didn't say hola or hero. So I don't know.
All right. Well, anyway,
we'll do that.
What else do I want to say about my week? Oh, and I leveled my priest. I'm working on my priest on Drendon, and I've leveled all the way up to like 64. I think I hit last night. And speaking of instances you haven't seen in so long, they're new again. There's this instance called Akanai Crypts, and I swear I've never been there, but I went there last night.
Wow.
Right? So.
See, I get all of those confused because there's that one. There's, God, I don't even remember what they're all called.
All the ones in the bottom of Terrakari. I know Burning Crusade content is so, man, it's tough. You level up, and I got to get into this. A topic came up on our forums. We have forums on the website now. If you haven't checked it out, you should at forums.hordehouse.com. And a topic came up about how to make the Outlands more fun. I'm going to do an article on the website for it, but man, you really do feel it. Like, once you kind of hit 58 and you go to Outlands, like, the first couple levels, you're still kind of like, oh, I'm in Outlands. It's like, oh, I'm back in Burning Crusade. But then, like, once you hit 60, you're like, oh my God, I want to be out of here already.
Yeah.
Like, the instances just aren't as good. Like, it's just, it's showing its age. Like, and
I mean,
you know, that
especially
get a rehauled pretty soon too.
Yeah, especially like, I'm just having so much fun with the redesigned zones. Like, especially Hillsbrad, I had a blast there at Horseside. So, I'm not looking forward to having to go through Burning Crusade again.
Yeah.
Especially since I won't be able to like get insta queues. Probably that's the thing. Like, I'm not trying to interrupt your week, but
you did.
I know. Well, everyone was interrupting mine, so I've been getting like 5 to 7 minute at the most DPS queues leveling, so it's been amazing. Anyway.
The queues haven't been that bad in Outland, but of course I'm a healer. I almost get in instantly.
Mm-hmm.
So. All right, well, that's really about it for my week. I think I've blathered on enough. We have a lot of news to talk about tonight, so let's go to Extifer with the news.
Okay, wow, that sounded like you were a Debbie Downer there for a second. Let's go to Extifer with the news.
Because I know what's coming in tonight's news, and there's a lot. I'm not in my comfort zone yet with it.
Oh, okay. Well, let's start with the Dungeon Finder change. They're implementing a new thing in patch 4.1, which will come out, you know, sometime in June, I'm convinced. So this new thing that is going to be implemented is called Call to Arms, which basically rewards the class, or the not the class, but the role that is the most underrepresented in Dungeon Finder queuing. The catch is that in order to reap benefits from this Call to Arms, buff that you'll get for whatever role that is underrepresented, you have to queue solo. So you can't queue with anybody that you know. You can only queue solo. And most likely, the roles that are going to be most underrepresented are going to be tanks and healers. So DPS, I mean, the chances of you ever getting this buff, it's, I you know, never probably. If you're a healer, maybe sometimes, and definitely if you're a tank, you'll probably get this a lot. Once I guess you solo queue and you're in the Dungeon Finder system, after a few minutes you'll see this buff appear or something appear on the screen that says call to arms tanks or call to arms healers or call to arms DPS, and depending on which role it is, you'll reap benefits after you kill the final boss in the dungeon that you queued for or that you randomly got into, and you'll get a reward in the form of a goodie bag, and there will be a few different items that you can get. You can either get a non-combat pet, you can get a rare gem, you can get some very rare mounts that could drop in the bag. And so this is kind of a good incentive for everybody to start using the queuing system, not just DPS, you know, waiting for, you know, people to waiting for that one tank to join in, I guess. So discuss.
Well, I don't know. Like, I'm really torn on this because I like what they're doing with this whole trying to get incentive for more people to queue so that DPS doesn't have to wait 35, 40 minutes to get into a group. I mean, that's obviously an issue, but I don't know. I sort of see, I'm like, the queue times were never that bad in Wrath of the Lich King. So I almost wonder, I'm kind of like, is this maybe just a design flaw? Like, why don't the tanks want to tank? Maybe that's the real question that needs to be addressed. I don't know. But, okay, so fine. They want to up the rewards and everything. And I'm cool with the gold, and I'm cool with these flasks that they want to give out. I like the idea of, like, a little bit of a goodie bag, because that's kind of similar to what you get in the regular randoms anyway. So whatever, a little extra incentive. And I know as a healer, like, I may not be the class that's most in demand, although right now during Burning Crusade, I feel like I am. But in endgame, whatever, maybe healers are like second in line. I would run these for the flasks. Flasks are expensive. I like the idea of being able to get those in a goodie bag. I would run just for the goodie bag, honestly. But the part that worries me is this whole, now we're going to give away these super rare mounts in the goodie bags. And so it kind of devalued those mounts for everybody else. And I don't think I'm okay with that. Like, I think that really sucks for the people that have grinded the Raven and the White Chocobo, whatever it is, and Magister's Terrace and what have you. Like, and I remember one of our guildies went into Stratholme, like, what was it, like 101 times trying to get that horse, and it never dropped. Like, I just imagine, like, going in there, like, for the 101 first time, then it finally drops. And just knowing that now you can get it this way just kind of, I don't know, like, it so devalues it. And it kind of takes me back to the point, like, how fucking hard is it, Blizzard, to do a palette swap? Like, they do it on all the other mounts. The White Chocobo is practically a palette swap of all the others. And I know they're not really Chocobos, whatever they're called. The pink one and the blue one and so forth. So why couldn't they just kind of, like, change the colors of an already kind of cool mount and just have that be the bonus mount? You know, why do they have to devalue these other ones that a lot of people worked very hard? I mean, that Raven is really like a status symbol. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You know, we were talking about this in in my mains guild. And
speaking of which, Sunshine, you should put something in trade chat. So how about that? What is this called again? Looking call to arms?
Call to arms.
So how about that call to arms? Something like that.
How about calling the arms? I don't know. This is what I feel about this is that I don't much like the very rare mount thing, but what I'm most concerned about as a result of this news is all of those DPS classes that are hybrids that will say, oh, well, if they're going to reward tanks, then I'm just going to switch my spec to tanking. And so what you'll have is a lot of these new tanks in these hard heroic dungeons. Because let's remember, this is a reward for running heroics. This is not running regular dungeons. And you'll have these new tanks that have never done tanking before, and or healers that have never healed before, and you'll end up with just a mess.
Oh God, yeah, that's gonna be a problem.
It'll be Vortex Pinnacle.
Yeah, or, you know, one of the really hard dungeons. And I mean, granted, they are still throwing the Nerf bat at these dungeons. Just today we got some news, you know, that some of the dungeons are getting nerfed, like Halls of Origination, it looks like.
What?
So, I don't know. There are, and Lost City of Tolvir is another one that I'm looking at right now. Of course, they might not be nerfs, because I haven't read them, but I'm assuming they are. I mean, usually they are in the patch notes. So
those two are easy.
Yeah, I mean, but, you know, I feel like, and I was talking about this with my brother-in-law the other day, we feel like they took a step too far when they originally brought out Cataclysm, because it was so different than Wrath of the Lich King and everything. And now they're trying to backpedal, we feel like. They're thinking, oh gosh, we may actually be losing subscriptions over this, or we may actually be losing interest in this random dungeon finder queue. We need to backtrack a little bit. And I think that's what's going on. I think that there's a lot of pressure in the Blizzard offices, I guess, right now, to do what the player base wants, and not necessarily what that 1% of the player base wants, which is extremely hard content. So I don't know. It'll be interesting to see when we finally do get another raid, you know, how actually hard it's going to be. And by that time, see how many guilds have actually completed the current tier of content.
I wanted to throw this out there because when I thought about farming all those mounts and all the effort that went into it, I went to go ask Salacious Pop what he felt, because, you know, he's been on the show before and he actually spent the time to grind the Raven mount and the white Chocobo mount out of Magister's Terrace. And so I was kind of like, okay, well, how do you feel about all this? Surely you're pissed off. And he actually kind of said, you know, I'm not that mad, because, you know, usually you have to worry about the rare mounts being taken out of the game completely or just replaced. So this is just kind of a new way of finding it, as long as the drop rate is 2% or less.
Yeah, you know, they're so weird about mounts, I think. They took, okay, let's go back to Wrath of the Lich King. They took two of the ugliest mounts out of the game, because they said they were hard mode mounts. You know, it was the Drake's, or I think it was the achievement Drake for SAR3D. They are completing all of the raid content or something like that, you know, for Wrath of the Lich King, the very first tier of Wrath of the Lich King. And they took those two mounts out. Okay, but then all of the other mounts since then, they haven't taken out of the game. It makes no sense to me. Like, why they chose to do that, and they've never reintroduced those mounts. They took the Imani Warbear mount out of the game. You know, they've taken other mounts out of the game. I don't understand why what is their criterion for taking mounts out of the game. It doesn't make any sense to me. Because, you know, Mimiron's Head, which is probably one of the hardest mounts to get ever in the game, it's still in the game, technically. So, I don't know. And those other mounts weren't that hard to get, but for some reason they took them out.
By the way, I just kind of want to put this into perspective, this whole, like, patching thing, because remember how Blizzard had talked about, like, well, we want to do these more frequent but big, you know, I don't know, content patches or what have you. And, you know, we kind of were a little bit skeptical last week, like, well, wait a minute, how long did it take us to get the freaking raids last time? So
right.
I actually did a little research. So here we go.
Okay.
Wrath of the Lich King came out in November. So it came out November of 2008. Okay.
Right.
The first major content patch was Olduar, and that came out the 14th of April.
Right.
So we're kind of like when did Cataclysm come out?
It came out in December, so technically that would be assuming that it's going the same route as Wrath of the Lich King. We should be getting the first,
but that should be a raid.
Right. The next tier of raiding should be in May.
That won't happen.
That will not happen. And you know what? I'm starting to believe that we won't even get this patch that's supposed to come out until the beginning of May. Probably by the end of this month. But
Burning Crusade, Burning Crusade, January 16th of 2007. So it was out in January. First major raid patch, the Black Temple. May, 22nd of May. So it was 5 months.
Right.
So.
So the, it's a big, I don't know what's
going on.
It's
a bait and switch.
I think it is a bait and switch, and it's stupid. It's just goes along with this whole mount thing. You know, there's no consistency on Blizzard's part. They tell us one thing and they want us to believe it, but there's nothing to back it up. I
think the raid's delayed because they are too busy trying to fix what kind of got broken in the launch of Cataclysm. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, who knows?
Are we too negative, Sunshine?
I don't know. Like, as far as the goodie bag thing, by the way, no one responded. I think maybe they blocked me.
I think
whatever.
This trolling segment's a huge failure. Just so you know, just
this is disappointing. I could run a dungeon and like be a huntard.
Like you know that old expression. Let's throw it to the wall and see what sticks. I would say this just bounced right off the wall. Just
well, you just gotta read what they're talking about because most of the time that's common.
WTS Belt of the Depths 5K, not on AH PST. I'm like, it figures that the okay. night that I log into trade chat to like try and get
everybody's actually talking trade.
Yeah. Oh, a tank's looking for Bastion of Twilight.
No one cur. Anyone interested? All right, moving on with the news.
I don't know. Like, yeah. I'm not too upset. Like, because the thing is that at first I was like, I play tanks and healers. I don't care. I'm going to get free goodies. But I mean, I do see where it is kind of unfair. And I mean, when I mentioned it in guild chat the other night on my Alliance guild, the DPS, like, a couple of them were like, yeah, that's hella janky. Like, what the hell? I'd rather wait. I don't like, you know, 45-minute DPS queues, but I think it's totally unfair. Mm-hmm. So,
well,
I mean, I can kind
of
see
that. Might not be the end
of
the world. I mean, we don't know how bad this system's going to work yet. I mean, it might be the thing where, you know, imagine it's going to flip the switch on and be all call to arms, tanks, ding, you know, or whatever it does. And then, like, a bunch of tanks will probably queue up, and then they're not going to need tanks anymore. So it's going to flip to healers. And at some point, I think in that ping pong, there's going to be so many tanks and healers, I think its DPS may come up at some point. I don't think it'll be
That's
uncommon,
true.
But I think people thinking it's never going to happen – like, I think, I can't believe I'm about to say this, are being a little too pessimistic about it. I think Call to Arms DPS will show up.
Although it might be interesting to see if DPS, like, somehow just all decide together to boycott the Dungeon Finder so that there's a severe lack of DPS. And then it's like, oh, look, Call to Arms, DPS.
Plus, also realize that a lot of people actually queue up with friends for these things.
That's
and
true.
So because Call to Arms is for people that solo queue, I think that might be another issue completely, is that, you know, I for instance, my brother-in-law and my sister, they both play together. They're a healer and they're a tank. They're never gonna reap the benefits of this system, so it means nothing to them.
That's true.
So, I mean,
you know, you bring up a really good point though, Sunshine, is that, you know, what if all the DPS they could just be that mindset, you know what, I'm not going to queue until I see it's finally Call to Arms DPS. I'm probably going to have to wait 40 minutes anyway, so I'll just wait for that to come up in the little thing. And so, you know, if enough DPS kind of do that, then there's going to be a shortage of DPS and it'll come up in the dungeon fire. And having leveled in the lower levels, believe it or not, I have seen a group formed that's a tank, a healer, and two DPS, and we're waiting on just somebody of the right level to queue. It does. I mean, obviously, leveling game is much different than end game, but, you know, I don't know. I don't think it's unreasonable that Call to Arms will like never show DPS.
True, and I mean,
it's
I don't know.
Possible.
I think another reason why I'm not too like, or you know, I'm kind of like, oh, it'll benefit me, is because a lot of the time, you know, I may log on when not a lot of people are online and I like do my heroics or whatever. So I'm used to doing a lot of stuff solo and I'm okay with that. But I was talking with our mage from our guild today, and it was kind of interesting because I was like, you know, and it's kind of interesting because when you have the 15% buff, if you're with three strangers for looking for group, it makes heroics a lot easier than if you're going in with like a like fresh group of just barely ready to do heroic 85s from your guild and you don't have that buff. I mean, it can be really discouraging. And so, I mean, the question is this going to, you know, push people into doing more stuff solo? Cause they'll be like, oh, I can get 15%, like have that buffer, and you know, and get a goodie bag instead. So is it going to hurt guild runs? Or I mean, it'll be interesting to see.
And we'll see. There's still a lot of fine tuning to come with this, so we'll see what develops.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's one of those things where you kind of just have to see how it happens, and then you know, if it ends up being like to the detriment of the player base, then I'm sure that everybody will hear about it, and you know, it'll be tweaked. But
seriously, Blizzard, how hard to do a fucking palette swap? How hard?
Not very hard. I mean, they're able to palette swap the Amani war mount, right? Amani bear mount or whatever, and that's supposed to be a new mount drop for the new ZA, mm-hmm. correct?
Yep.
So, anyways, so moving on to the next. God, like that's the first notch on my news thing. Jesus. So the next thing,
bring a book.
I know, seriously, like I'm gonna, this is a snore fest. The next thing on the list is that remote guild chat is finally coming to iPhones, iPads, iPods, iSomethings, and Android devices. It's coming soon. We don't know when, but I'm assuming that it's almost to completion because they have screenshots of it on their development page.
I haven't looked at the screenshots. I should do that. I'm kind of curious what it looks like.
It looks pretty cool. I'm kind of confused that about the Android thing. This just has to do with the fact that I have an Android phone. But they still don't have an official WoW Armory on the Android. And I've always assumed that the guild chat function would be a part of the Armory on any given device.
I think so. The
WoW Armory on iPhone, just you know, is really out of date. Like it was never updated for Cataclysm.
Wow. So I mean, maybe they're just working on a big update and they're going to bring it out for Androids. But they have everything else that they brought out for Android. It's just the Armory has not come out for Android. So it looks like they actually did say Android in their little advertisement there. So, I mean, I'm assuming that it'll be for all platforms, but with the exception of Windows 7 phone, which I'm convinced nobody has. So so we'll see how that works out. It looks pretty cool. So
yeah, I think isn't it tied to the paid subscription for the Armory, like
yep.
where you can post guilds. Yeah. So, I mean, mm-hmm. I mean, not post guilds, post auctions when you're not in game. So
it's possible. I mean, I didn't read yet. I actually didn't read anywhere where it said it's going to be a part of the paid service.
It is.
If it is, then I mean, it makes sense.
$3 a month?
Probably not. I don't know. I don't foresee myself sitting at work talking to guildies. I mean, I would never get anything done.
I could see myself driving down the freeway and talking to guildies. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
funny, Rob.
I know.
So anyhows, we'll see. Did I just say anyhows?
I think you did. Haven't you ever seen those billboards driving down the freeway that's like, text somebody and you could kill somebody, or like, you know, text messages kill people? And I'm just thinking like, oh, now it's gonna have to be like guild chat kills people and costs lives.
Yeah, there'll be a news story about like how someone like caused a fatal 5-car crash up because they were posting anal jokes or Chuck Norris jokes in guild chat.
Yes, anal killed all of those people.
Or doing an extremely failed trade chat segment on their dumb little podcast.
Looking for one DPS for Bastion of Twilight.
No one cur. You should just reply, no one cur.
Yeah.
All right.
And they'll be like, that's block. Racist. So the next thing on the list of news items is that the... there was another dev chat thing, which we talked a little bit about last week, how, you know, these new dev chats and blue posts lately have been like, eh. But there was some interesting information that came out of this last one that I thought was interesting enough to bring up. And that is that when you use the random dungeon finder and you hit need on a BOE item, apparently in the next patch or later, I'm not clear if it's going to be the next patch, but it's supposed to make it the item soulbound to you, and it's supposed to encourage people to
not be a ninja.
Yeah, not be a ninja. And let the BOE items have equal dibs, so that when you put it on the auction house, you're not a douche about it. So I think this is actually a good thing. At first, when I saw that, I'm like, huh? Like that? And I had that whole, like, that's not fair, but it's actually very fair. And so I guess I thought that was newsworthy. So there's another thing on my news list that just came out today, and that is in the next patch, you're going to apparently be able to trade honor for justice points and vice versa, and conquest points for valor points, and vice versa, which I think is also kind of a cool thing. But if you're like me, you don't do a lot of PvP, so it will probably never come to play where you actually do that. But for those people that do both, I'm sure it'll be very beneficial. And what do you think about that?
I as the PvP side of me kind of thinks it's bullshit, actually. Like, especially the whole, like, can't you trade Valor for Conquest, I believe was part of it. Is that one of the exchanges that can happen?
Yes, but not the other way around, because they don't want people doing like arena to get.
So in other words, PvP is PvE is now officially the harder game, quote unquote. I don't know. It kind of strikes me a little bit as bullshit. Like a lot of the PvP conquest items, you have to kind of work for those and do arenas and actually do it. And it's not that PvE isn't working, but let's face it. How long has WoW kind of been two separate games, the PvP game and the PvE game? And like them trying to bring those together is really weird. Like, I'm really only bothered by the conquest end of it. Like, I think fine if you want to trade the justice and the honor across the board. At least it's across the board. And somebody can make a pretty decent PvP set to get into it, PvP in the first place. And just like maybe a PvPer who wants to get into PvE and can never be bothered to wait for dungeons can kind of get that too. But the purple trading, the valor and the conquest, that's not cool, especially that it only goes one way.
Right. And I want to correct myself on that too, because I think I said vice versa, but it's not true. I kind of agree with that, I guess. But of course, not PvPing that much. I mean, I don't see it as much of an issue, but I guess if I PvP'd more, then that would kind of piss me off too.
I think they should just wait one content patch before they implement this, not the 4.1, but the next one when we get new gear. Because right now you basically have two levels of gear that you can buy with points. Like in the PvE world, it's 346s and 359s. And then when they release the next raid tier, it's going to be like 370 something, right? And so pretty much all the 340s are never going to be bought anymore. So maybe that should be the entry level. Kind of that lowest tier could be the entry level for people wanting to cross the line from PvP. Because the same thing happens on the PvP side. There'll be all new PvP epics for conquest points and everything gets lowered. Maybe that lowest tier. And you should just be able to freaking buy the gear with the points without having to trade in the points. Like, just have a vendor in the hall that sells PvE items in the PvP event. And have it be that lowest entry level.
They should just nix the Valor for Conquest thing, I think. Just make it Honor for Justice, Justice for Honor. That's it. Because that would be the baseline right there. And you can still get, pretty decent gear for starting out, I guess. And then everything else should be more, of a benefit to sticking with that particular, end of the gaming spectrum, I guess. You would either go the PvP route or the PvE route, and then whatever you do with your points that are earned from those, you shouldn't be able to exchange.
The devil's advocate side to myself, I'm about to play devil's advocate to myself here, but the only thing I could see maybe the benefit of allowing someone to buy the conquest gear with your valor points is that you could really kind of flatten the playing field in arena. And it would be less about who has the better gear and more about who has the better skill. But right. I still kind of think, I don't know, this just seems like a bit much.
Right.
Like, I don't know. I just, I don't, this just seems like, you know, go directly to go, you know, or go directly to jail. Do not pass go. It just seems like the most extreme way of giving out PvP gear.
Mm-hmm.
Especially after Blizzard talked it up so much about, well, you're going to be able to craft entry-level PvP gear now. You'll be able to craft all that. Well, the market for that just got shot.
Yeah. I don't know. Well, we'll see how – it's just another one of those things. We'll see how it all comes out into play. Another thing Blizzard does is they come out with these patch notes and everything, and then they implement them in-game. And, you know, we kind of just have to ride the wave and see where it takes us.
We.
See, I don't know. Like, one of the things that – I think one of the reasons I've been so turned off by PvP is that, like, if you're – I mean, I know, like, that they have rated battlegrounds now, and that kind of, like, evens it a bit. But, I mean, even if I go into Tol Barad, I get totally, like, totally screwed over by people who actually have, like, you know, good PvP gear because they have spell penetration or whatever, and I don't have enough resilience. So, I mean, I don't know, like, just to have to go into battlegrounds to get – PvP gear.
Well, do you have at least crafted PvP gear? Because you can get like 5-6 pieces of PvP
gear. I have a little bit, but I mean, I don't know. I just think that, like, I think there's a good side to it. I mean, because I know that a lot of people who, like, already have all their Justice Points gear and, like, they've already bought heirlooms. Why did I say heirlooms?
I don't know.
They've already.
Are you British?
Apparently so. I must be from Gilneas. They've already done all they can with Justice Points, and some are even at that point with Valor Points. So, I mean, I guess instead of letting that go to waste, and if they don't need to buy craftable stuff, I mean, I don't know. I think
I do feel like
I understand.
You should still have to work for it a little bit. I mean, you have to in the PvE game. You don't get to just jump right into heroics. You got to gear through regulars, and then you get to gear through heroics. You know, it's kind of like that tiered kind of progression thing, and why should PvP be any different? You want to play with the big boys, you got to start little and work your way up.
I know, but when you think about it, all you have to start with is the crafted stuff, and I mean, I guess that's better than nothing, you know? But I mean, I don't know, maybe they need like intro battlegrounds that, like, I don't know. But yeah, I mean, I don't think it's too bad. I understand why it's kind of controversial.
I think people are really uncomfortable with PvP because they're like, well, I'm going to die. Well, of course you're going to die. There's no monsters in PvP. It's player versus player. And I think once people accept the fact you're going to die and you're going to die a lot, but at least you'll get some honor for being in there and trying and you'll learn something new each time. It's, you know, it's again, it's like the PvE game. Freaking Slash Pop was telling me how his guild was working on some new heroic boss this week. I think Alec here or something. They wiped 26 times in one night. And I'm just thinking, oh my God, that repair bill would make me cry 26 times.
Yeah.
But that's what you do when you're in progression. You keep going and going and going until you fucking get it. And
right.
I think in some ways PvP is the same way. Like, you know, and Sunshine, I'm not picking on you. I would never try to bring a rain cloud on your Sunshine, but I think a lot of people are kind of like that attitude where it's like, I'm going to die in PvP, so I shouldn't play. It's like, of course you're going to die.
That's true. You know, speaking of gear.
Shut up.
Speaking of gear, Bieber's a girl who is a, let's see,
Shut up.
Bieber's a girl who is a level 75 undead death knight was asking, where can I find good gear? And then Shadowcat, who is a level 85 blood elf death knight, said, at your mom's house. And then Bieber's a girl said, shut up and answer. I felt that was worth sharing.
I'm throwing this at the wall and it just fell right on the floor.
They're really trying to get that answer out of this person, though.
Stop trying to make fetch happen.
Shut up and please answer my question. Because I think that you can. So can I get on with the rest of my news?
The news.
All right. So the last
we're still on the news.
I know. So the show's a drag.
Ugh.
The last item on the news, something that I'm sure we won't talk about too long. It's that the new legendary weapon will take about 2 to 2.5 times longer for a 10-man raiding group to get it than it will for a 25-man raiding group, which still, to me, in a way, I feel kind of like that doesn't make sense because, as we all know, 10-man content can be just as hard, if not harder, than 25-man content. And I think that Blizzard's not recognizing that, and they're trying to still give benefits to the 25-mans just because they have more manpower. I don't know. I think that it doesn't make sense to me, but I guess in the grand scheme of things, it makes more sense to Blizzard, so whatever. So I guess that's that wraps up the news.
And I'm just sitting here, whatever, I'll never see the legendary weapons. Yeah. Who cares?
I've never had the opportunity to get a legendary weapon before. I mean, I've had the opportunity to help people get them last year. I was fortunate enough to be in a raid group that got the legendary from the Lich King. I've also seen people get the mace from Ulduar. A couple people actually, but never got my hands on any fragments myself. So
actually, our guild is working on getting a legendary weapon right now. One of our rogues is heading up a campaign to get the thing from Molten Core. We've actually been going in there every week to get one of those Ingos from that fire boss to get all the mats we need to make it.
Nice. Yeah, we are
all for one stupid achievement.
Yeah, I know. Seriously, but anyhow, how's that?
I think your dad's harder than 25-man content and has more manpower, so there.
I think I want...
Oh, and there's good gear at your mom's house, in case you didn't know.
Die a little, is what I was going to say. Okay, end with the news.
Oh, thank God. I was thinking the segment was never going to end. All right. Let's move on to the topic of the week. Every week we have...
it's never going to end.
Oh my God, breaking news, guys. I just found out. Looking for more Bastion of Twilight. No, I'm totally kidding, but someone's still trying to sell that Belt of the Depths for $5,000.
No one cur.
Yeah. I said that and no one cur about my no one cur.
All right.
So
can I get to
I
the
guess
topic
maybe...
of the week? Because people cur yeah. about the topic of the week. All right. Topic of the week. Every week we have a topic of the week. That's why it's the topic of the week. And we ask it and we solicit your responses. Hordehousepodcast@gmail.com. Or you can also send us a tweet at twitter.com/hordehouse. Ain't no one been no one cur about Twitter anymore because we've been getting hardly any tweets lately. But twitter.com/hordehouse. You can answer it there. Here's this week's topic of the week. Since we've been talking about dev chat, and by the way, Essex did a great article on dev chat for the website, so you got to check that out, hordehouse.com. But since we're talking about chatting, I thought a good topic of the week would be, if I could ask anyone at Blizzard just one question, what would it be? If you could ask anyone at Blizzard just one question, what would that question be? You don't have to tell me who. You could just say in general, but one question to anyone at Blizzard. Extrovert.
I would ask how big Ghostcrawler is and if he could use that
6 foot
to get...
6 foot 2?
We're talking penis size, right? If he was actually 6 feet two, if his penis was that tall, I would think that I need to start going straight.
Do you have a non-bathroom answer?
That was a bathroom answer? Okay. No, I don't have any, I don't know. If I saw a Blizzard representative, I would ask why their philosophy on, playing the game changes so often. Why does it have to cater to casuals? And then why does it suddenly not? And then why do they go back and forth on that?
Why are you so flippy floppy?
Yeah, exactly.
There you go. Why are you so flippy floppy? Fair enough.
Right. And that would be my next question of Ghostcrawler.
Whoa. All right. I almost feel a little bad for giving my answer now, because I'm also a little irritated because you kind of stole my thunder. By the way, Extrafer has more like bathroom jokes than there are poop quests in WoW, I think.
Wow.
I'm just throwing that out there. See, I was going to say, now I'm going to probably have to like throw it back to you and think of a serious answer. Because like I was like, when you said that, I was like, I know what question I would ask. I would go up to Chris Metz and I'd be like, would you be my daddy?
What is wrong with you people? Why does this all have to be perverse? This is a serious program.
I'm sorry. Still don't understand why my question was perverse.
Because it's Ghostcrawler. Ew. I'm sorry. Like,
no, he's a cool guy.
I'd love to chat.
It's not about how good they look. It's about status.
The motion of the ocean.
Yeah. You know, if I could fuck Ghostcrawler to get ahead in life.
Oh, God. I hate this show. All right.
When I say get ahead in life, I mean get ahead.
Fine. I will give you my semi-serious
answer. Sorry, I just think that Chris Metzen is a total dilf. If you want, I will think of a real answer while you are giving yours.
I have kind of two. One of them would be, I would ask, how much would it cost to buy yourselves back from Activision? That would be one question that I would ask, because as we talked about last week on the show, if you want to trace back when everything started going wrong, you know, I know they all swear up and down, oh, we're a separate company, well, we're separate, but if you want to start, when did everything start going wrong? When did that philosophy start flippy-flopping? It was when Activision bought them. The other question I would ask is, when will I finally be able to fucking change my real name on Real ID? That would be the other question I'd ask, because you know I hate Real ID with a passion. I like being able to talk to people cross server, but you know why is my real name still on Real ID? Aren't we over this?
You know what, Rob? I hate it when you use Real ID.
Well, how about that? Okay, I hate seeing whenever you sign online. I just like, ah, do I have to talk to him?
I hate your face.
Oh,
wow.
Just my face?
Kiss and makeup, boys.
Okay, I'm ready. Ready for my test.
I'm a little scared now.
All right, Sunshine.
I think I have a real answer. Okay. I don't know. I think I would just ask... why, like, I guess it kind of goes back to what you were saying about palette swaps. I guess I would ask why there couldn't be a little more customization in game, because like a lot of people were like, oh, armor dies, and I think it was Wowhead or one of those sites that had the joke about like the Felicia Day character with armor dies and stuff like that was going to be in the game. Mm-hmm. Like, I would like to have that and a little more customization, so that first of all, my gear isn't all mismatched. I mean, I know they're like, oh, like, we want your gear to be a status symbol or whatever, but it's like, on the other hand, you put a lot of work into your character. I thought the barbershop was pretty cool, even though they're like, well, we're hesitant to do that because no one uses the barbershop anymore. But I mean, like, why not? I mean, are you telling me it's that hard and art assets are that expensive to do a palette swap on armor so that, I don't know.
I guess that would be another good question. Since you brought up the barbershop. You know, the back of my Wrath of the Lich King box says something about a dance studio. Where can I find the dance studio?
Oh, yeah. I forgot that it was advertised on the box. Yeah, I don't know.
So, I mean, I know you don't look at box usually, Sunshine.
Yeah, that's true. So, I mean, I don't know. Like, another question I would ask is... when are we getting new aquatic and travel forms for druids, because they're ugly as hell?
It's a lot of questions.
Yeah.
And I would ask Chris Metzen to be my daddy.
All right. Let's move on to emails.
If you're listening, hit me up.
Don't worry, he's not. Hordehousepodcast@gmail.com. Every week we invite your emails, and we may or may not read them. Let's get in.
Probably not.
All right.
Okay.
I want to get into this email from Holly D. Hey, just wanted to say you guys actually made me laugh really hard with your response to my email. You might remember last week Holly D had emailed us and said was talking about getting kicked from pugs and all that. And we were kind of starting to criticize, like, I think, like, the people she was running with or whatever, and talking about that they were bad people. But she was really laughing and thought it was funny. So I just wanted to clarify that. But also, Holly sent you a gift, Extifer. I'm going to have to forward it to you because it's in the iTunes bookstore. It's a iTunes book thing.
Oh, Okay.
So I will send that over to you. There's a little explanation too, but I'm not sure if it's for on air or not. So I will forward that to you offline.
Alrighty.
Presents are awesome. Aww. Oh my gosh. Like, we do this show for free and suddenly we're getting showered in gifts.
I know. I'll take the Spectral Tiger mount.
And that's not, it's a book, Extifer, not a mount.
I don't care. I'll still take the Spectral Tiger mount.
How about an email from Flacco Jones?
Hey.
Yeah, Flacco Jones sent us an email. Think of the Bynon account change this way. The way they state it, you can mail items to characters if you have two different WoW accounts tied to your Battle.net account, or you can mail items cross-faction to your own characters. Both of those functions don't require you to type anything special into the send field of the mailbox. That is a big hint that it only means the same server, because no matter what you are playing on, there can be only one person with a name on a server. If they made it cross-server, they'd have to implement a whole new way to mail things via drop-down or whatever when using the mailbox, and I think this is easier, since all you'd have to do is type the character's name like always. Hopefully they change this in the future and let you mail heirlooms, and only heirlooms, cross-server in the future.
Yeah, I think that everybody's gotten pretty clear since then that what we thought they meant they didn't mean, which
and
is
they by the way they confirmed it in that dev chat that
I was heading towards that saying that, so thank you, Rob. Clear now.
Well, you know what I bet will happen? You know what they have no problem doing across the servers is the pay content. You can pay to move characters cross servers and pay to, you know, change your factions and so forth. What do you want to bet? You could send an heirloom cross server for $2. For $5. The paid postal service. The goblin engineers have discovered a miraculous way to send email, premium email across servers, but it'll be it'll cost you some real gold. I don't know. It's just waiting. I'm trying to envision what that post looks like in my head.
I can.
And then comes the remote mailing system that you can use from your phones
for an extra $4 a month.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
All right.
We see
Bobby Kotick eats another yacht.
They have their little way of nickel and diming us. They're trying to be smart about it, but we see right through their.
Yet we still do this show.
I know.
They're a feeding bar.
Well, because they're the big boys in the MMO game, so they kind of know that if they put it out a good game, that they can get away with it.
Right.
Flacco Jones has a good point, though. And, you know, it's kind of. I think they need to redo the mail system. I know that would take, like, forever, and it would probably not even be during this expansion, but.
Work?
How many times?
You want them to do work?
Oh, but there'll be a new sword model. Cool. I don't know. Like, I just feel like. Has anyone else had, like, you're trying to send something to your alt, and then, I guess it's not as bad with the, like, now that it does, like, an autocomplete sort of thing, but I remember I was trying to send something to one of my alts back in the day, and I typed in the name wrong, and so I was like, oh, crap, and so I, like, sent a message to the person, because I think I had sent gold to an alt or something, and I'm like, can you please trade it back to me, because... I was trying to send that to my alt, and the guy was like, why should I? You sent it to me. I'm like, please? So, I mean, I don't know. Like, it just seems like the mail system...
Be more careful.
The mail system could be a little more efficient. I don't know.
All right, let me get to the next email from Linaya. I've been playing around in my Blood Elf Pally Revenge on Drendon, and I've been doing a few battlegrounds, and I fail horridly. I did actually get a few kills. I need tips, though. Advice? I'm a Rep Pally. I think level 37 just might be too low, but I keep getting owned by hunters. I got freaking one-shotted by a level 34. I just fail, I guess. Ha ha ha. It just sucks.
Everybody dies to hunters right now. They're way overpowered in the early game, so don't worry about it. It's something that everybody deals with, except for hunters.
Let me give you the one piece of advice, and I think Parm said this a few shows back, and it really is accurate, and it will infinitely help your PvP game. Go through and read all of your talents in the book. That's your homework assignment. Do some reading. Read every talent that you have in the book. Because remember, and I referenced this earlier in the show when I was talking about why Valor for Conquest is kind of a bad idea. Right now, WoW is kind of two separate games between the PvP and the PvE. So the talents you use in PvE don't always work in PvP. So you need to know the types of things that you have to use in PvP, like maybe bubbling yourself that you're not doing enough in PvE. Like, you know, I don't know what level, you know, again, level 37 is hard to say. So that's why you got to go through and read them, because I don't know what you do and you don't have. But like, you know, if you can cast that bubble on yourself that halves the damage, you can cast that on yourself, stun the hunter and have time to get away, you know, at least if nothing else, or lure him into a trap. You know,
that's a good point.
So just realize the talents that you have. And as if you're a rep pally, honestly, and again, I don't know what level all this starts, because my pally's always been max level since the last expansion and when they added this in. But Holy Power, there's a great mod called, I think it's Holy Power Indicator. And all it does is a little movable number on your screen that shows you the amount of Holy Power you have. Because I don't know about the rest of you paladins, I cannot be bothered to look in the upper left-hand corner, where I never look otherwise, as to how much Holy Power I have. You need that number front and center, or you need it down closer to the bar where your talents are, and then that way you know where your Holy Power is at, and that'll go a long way in helping your DPS.
In the next patch, they're going to make it so you can actually move your frame anywhere on the screen, though.
Oh, that's cool. Well, then maybe it will... I don't know, but I like the fact that the Holy Power Indicator mod is like, you can do a number.
Yeah.
Instead of like the little weird bar or whatever, because I can't bother to count.
There's also, I mean, because rogues have been dealing with that for forever, I think, and so there's a lot of mods that I'm sure that they borrowed from rogue mods, combo point mods or whatever. But I would be interested to know, and this is actually a question I'll pose to our listeners, if anybody has a good add-on that actually shows your balance bar for balance druids in more of a clear light.
You need to ask because I think he uses one.
Oh, really? Because I actually haven't really looked into it. I've been just using the built-in bar, you know, but I'd be interested in learning.
So. You know, Rob, I just got to thinking when you were talking about talents. I wonder if the whole PvE, PvP, like, exchange points thingy, I wonder if that'll create a similar problem to, like, all the noobs who will be tanking and healing. Like, do you think a bunch of people are going to be flooding battlegrounds who are like, oh, I don't know how to... Not to say anything about our guildy, like, because I don't really know a lot about PvP either, and I think that's totally valid. But, I mean, do you think it's going to just encourage people to just jump in blindly, or?
Sorry, I was sending a text message. Run that by me one more time.
No, I was saying, like, and this isn't any disrespect to our guildie for message, like what her message was about, like. But do you think, similar to the way that the call to arms thing is going to encourage like noob tanks and noob healers to go queue up, which I mean could be good and bad, do you think it's going to have a similar effect on PvP? I mean, I know it'll just be at max level, but still, like, do you think battlegrounds are gonna be flooded with people who just like don't understand that PvP is different? I mean, I don't really.
Do people still do the twink thing in PvP? Because I thought the whole like fact that they made it now 5 level caps kind of really hurt the twinking stuff. And so I don't know, like, because she's level 37, so I think it's all kind of different.
Yeah, and I mean, I thought that twinking was kind of dead, and it's weird because like they had you can lock your level, and I don't think people really use that, because I mean they kind of made twinking like dead. I don't know.
Well, okay, the one other advice I want to give though to Linaya is also the other PvP advice I would have is don't run in there alone. Like, try to stay with other people, stay with the pack, and that'll help you out a lot, I think, you know, because if you're getting owned by a hunter, well, maybe it needs to be 2-on-1 then, you know. Just make sure you're not running in there by yourself. And read your talents.
Yeah, that's good. I'm going to go read all my talents when I try to PvP. Thank you, Rob.
You're welcome.
Oh, I do have something to share before you get to the next email.
Oh, boy, who's selling a belt now?
No, Spend It, and I feel like a total dick. Spend It, who is a level 10 undead priest, asked, can someone, W-O-N, run me, M-I, and a friend through RFC? I replied no.
You're so nice.
Poor Spend It.
All right.
Poor Spend It. I hope he's not listening, because he'll probably cry.
Huge email. Huge, ginormous, gigantic email from Spike. You ready for this?
Sure, I have time to sleep.
All right, Horde House. In part, I'm writing this because after a successful guild run last night, our slash G was overtaken by discussion of the current status of PTR features that aren't live yet. When Dungeon Finder Call to Arms came up, a bitchy healer commented that he was wondering how long it would take for pure DPS classes to start QQing about it. I immediately told him that I was already in full-on QQ mode, as I hadn't even considered this system for very long, and it already appeared to have some potential drawbacks. Now, as a pure DPS, long LFD queue times are something I've come to accept. I don't like them, but the player base sort of dictates how many tanks, heals, or queued at a time. It is what it is. And really, I do appreciate that Blizzard wants to reduce that time spent running in circles in Stormwind and Org, but I don't think that bribing people with goodie bags is really the way to do it. Of course, the argument can be made that none of the rewards that Call to Arms will be issuing is exclusive to these goodie bags. After all of the mounts are from other five-mans. Cited examples include the Raven Lord and so on and so on. All of the flash and gems are the same as what alchemists make, because who cares about eating into the alchemists and jewelers' resale markets, right? And the pets, including cross-faction pets, can typically be grinded out or bought sold on Auction House for vast sums of gold. I didn't even think about the whole flash thing cutting into the alchemist market. That's a really good point. Mm-hmm. But indeed. My problem here is that by making it much easier to get these things, Blizzard is doing several unpleasant things. It's making it more rewarding, potentially a great deal more rewarding, to run heroics as a tank healer without your guildies, since to get the goodie bag, you'll have to be queued solo, and it's going to take it that much harder for tanks and healers that want help DPS old run content for this stuff. Tank and heal flasks could drop in demand, though that's super speculative of me to suggest. Additionally, they're encouraging people that maybe aren't well geared or prepared to try tanking healing content on what they're not ready for in the hopes of getting some Raven Lord love, which will ultimately end up wasting everyone involved's time on constant wipes and frustration. Now, I know the typical response to this is LOL, roll a tank or heals and deal with it, but some people just aren't good at those roles. Should I, as a reasonably reliable DPS that typically carries his weight and then some in Dungeons and Raids, struggle to level a tank healer quest because Blizzard changed the tanking and healing mechanics so much in Kata that the already established tanks and healers now avoid random H's as if they were herpes? Because that's not my fault. Why do tanks and healers get free shit because of Blizz's, in my opinion, poor design planning? While I am almost certainly going to have to deal with negatives relating to this game system, but with no real upside, except that instead of waiting 28 minutes for a pug that will probably get through an entire heroic, I'll now only have to wait 10, but with a significantly higher chance of snagging someone that doesn't want to or shouldn't yet be tanking or healing heroic content in the first place. This just reeks of a band-aid to fix a deeper problem to me. A band-aid that is going to do something unpleasant to the initial problem. Maybe instead of bribing people, they could take another look at why tanks and heals aren't queuing in the first place, and then address that. An interesting addendum to the first negative point I mentioned above is that I know several people that already prefer running heroics with three pug slots since they get a 15% damage and healing buff. I didn't think it was a good thing to encourage people skipping on guild runs in the first place, which I've already seen people do, and I think that taking that kind of idea a step further is potentially even more damaging. Anyway, I just wanted to get my rant out and see what your guys' opinions on this new system look like. Love the show and look forward to new episodes every week. Keep up the awesomeness. Heart.
Yeah, I think that most of what he said we pretty much covered. I mean, I think that it raises a big question on the part of Blizzard. You know, they even addressed it in somewhat kind of, I think, dumbass like in their notes. They said, because our system works so well and we just want to encourage tanks and healers, you know, to queue. Okay, that's the problem right there. They believe that their system works well. They believe that there's nothing wrong with their current design. That is where the problem is. And because they just brushed over it so, you know, like fast and are going to go with this rewarding system for, you know, for these dungeons, I think that's the problem. I think that's part of the problem. So
you know what though? Let me be honest. Like I to kind of play devil's advocate, as much crap as I've given Blizzard recently over some of their decisions, I have to admit I really like pally healing now. Like, it's not that it wasn't fun before, but it's pretty cool now. Like, I like the changes they made to it. I'm okay with it. I think healing's still fun. I don't think there's a design flaw.
I think that if you like if you like what your class does and everything, and then that's one thing. And I'm gonna say it too. I love druid healing, and I'm actually kind of growing to like disc priest healing. Like I like those things. I don't think that was my point, though. I think that the problem with their design has to do with having. Is there somebody else on the
yeah,
line?
Yeah, I'm bringing someone else on.
Oh,
keep
okay.
Going.
I think that the problem with their design has to do with how inaccessible I think that these dungeons are with in regards to tanks and healers, that tanks and healers are underrepresented
mm-hmm.
and I don't know, like I think that there's a reason why, and that is that the regardless of how we feel about how fun it is, a lot of people don't feel that are discouraged.
Let me throw one other kind of thought out there, and then I'll move on to the next email. Actually, I have somebody I want to bring on the show real quick and ask something. But do you think maybe part of the problem is that the new or the end game content is just way harder than the path leading up to it? Because let's face it, roll the 1-60 instances, they don't really prepare you for end game.
Right, no pug is going to get Nefarian down without a lot of elbow grease. I mean, come on. Let's face it. They're normal modes. These normal modes, the whole idea of normal modes versus hard modes. Normal modes were supposed to be easy, you know, somewhat pug-friendly after a while. You know, they were supposed to be kind of straightforward. But when you have a fight like Nefarian or Alakir, where these the mechanics of the bosses are so far fetched, and they're not normal modes by any means to me, you know, and then to put a hard mode on top of that, it's ridiculous, and I think that it is discouraging for a lot of these people that are trying to experience this content.
Yeah, you know? I mean, even the heroics, because I mean. Like, I play a tank and a healer because I like to play those types of classes. And, I mean, I think overall, like, class design and balance-wise, they're pretty much all right. I just think that a lot of the heroics and probably the raids, too, are just not designed well. Or they, like, really amped it up too much. Like, some of those pulls in Vortex Pinnacle or whatever, I mean, like, I want to go back to when you're asking.
Click button, get loot.
I was going to say the topic of the week. I would ask whoever. First, I would ask who designed the trash pools in Vortex Pinnacle. And then
and
ask
can
why.
Can I rip off their balls?
Why in that second to last pool, and I promise I'll let you get to the next email or tweet or whatever, but why in that last pool where you have to, like, go up the stairs and line of sight or whatever. And I mean, I appreciate that, like, okay, line of sight is a thing, but that pole is just the biggest pain in the ass. And, like, I don't get why do they have to design the encounter so that it has to be done that way? I mean, I kind of like being able to go in and have, like, you know, different strategies or do things a different way, not be forced to run upstairs. So I think a lot of it's the content, and I think they really need to look at their content design.
Because you touch yourself at night, and this is punishment.
Maybe so.
All right. To dirty thoughts of whoever it was you were saying was a DILF earlier.
Chris Metzen.
Or whatever. All right. Hey, I wanted to bring on. I don't usually call people mid-show, but I think Salacious Pop is there. Are you there, Salacious Pop?
I should be, yes.
How you doing?
Doing all right.
Hey, thanks for coming on short notice. So Exifer had a question about a Boomkin add-on. Like, we were talking about add-ons and moving around. Like, there's a great new add-on called Holy Power Indicator that allows you to have holy power, and you can put, like, a number at the bottom of your screen. And Extifer wanted something like that for a Boomkin, right? Like a Boomkin Eclipse.
The balance bar.
Yeah, balance bar, yeah. Whatever the hell it's called. Is there an add-on for that?
Yeah, I use, and I'm actually in WoW right now, so I can double-check the name.
Just don't start reading trade chat, because that bit doesn't work, just so you know.
I use a Balance Power Tracker, all one word. It is amazing. Can't go wrong with it.
What does it do? Just let's put the bar in the middle.
Well, you can control, you know, if you want it to run vertically or horizontally, and make it huge or, like, really small and drag it around. But the awesome part of it is let's say you're moving to the left side, which is lunar eclipse, and it'll be like you have 30 points in lunar and it's dark blue. When you throw your next wrath out, it'll put a little chunk of light blue ahead of it that shows you where your eclipse bar is going to be once that wrath actually hits the target. So when you're at 95 and you put out a wrath, it'll say, okay, after this, you're going to be in eclipse, so don't queue up that next wrath.
Gotcha.
You've done what you've needed to hit the eclipse. That's really important for the four-piece bonus if you get into tier 11.
Nice. Yeah, that's really cool.
There you go. Yep. It's a bummer this show isn't taped live. We could do more of this, just bring on the random people. Slicious Pop, I know you have a raid to get to, so I won't keep you on much longer, but do you want to say anything about the news? I know, because we're in emails right now. We already did the news about, of course, Dungeon Finder Call to Arms, Honor Point for Justice Points, you know, and so on. Guild Chat on the iPhone. Anything you're passionate about in reading this week?
Just the whole Call to Arms things for tanks. I feel that in the end game, there are plenty of tanks in the game, almost as much as DPS. But if they're in a guild, and good tanks are usually in a guild, they're doing guild runs. And when they queue up for an LFG, it's with three or four other guildies, because it kind of depends on the tank's availability. Only one or two random DPS people are going to get picked up out in the void that are on LFG. So the tanks are there. They just, once they get their guildie, once they hit their XP cap for the day for their guild, or they get all of their guildies, their valor points, they don't have reason to queue up again. And, you know, the rest of us have 45-minute waits because of it. I don't really know if the goodie bag will help that much, but I think it's a step in the right direction.
That's so interesting to me, for somebody who worked so hard to get those mounts that they're now going to give away. I don't know. I thought you'd be more pissed.
Eh. I don't think it's going to help things that much. I'm kind of like, you know, when I see it.
And you got to understand, you'll still be able to get those mounts the other ways. You know, they're not taking that out of the game. The only thing is, I think that the giving away the mounts might be just a little overboard. I think that they should have just stopped at the more gold and more maybe
I forgot about the pets and all that crap too. It's
What about the Ravenlord mount? Didn't they nerf that already so that anyone could get it, not just a druid?
I think the beauty of the Call to Arms thing is that you'll be able to do it more than once, I guess, is the whole draw of it in one day. And of course, otherwise, you'll only get it one shot at it. So.
You know, honestly, I'm sure once it's actually in effect, people will see that, like, you get a little extra gold, but I think when it actually goes into effect, these drop rates for even, like, the flasks and the gems will probably be not that high. So people will be like, oh, okay, so it's not that unfair. I don't know. That's just my guess.
And I don't know if this has been brought up already, but think about it like this. Remember when everyone is like, wow, the Oculus is a confusing shit show and I hate it. So they took the mount out of Malagos 10, the plain blue Drake, and they moved it to a goodie bag at the end of Oculus as a reward for toughing it out. Didn't make much of a difference. People still got Oculus and was like, no, thank you, and dropped.
Right.
So,
true.
I don't know. I kind of enjoyed getting Oculus after that. I got that mount on my first run through Oculus. And plus, it wasn't just that, but the extra badges or whatever it was at that time. You got like 7 badges
That's
for
true.
Running that place. It was crazy.
And a gem. So, I mean, yeah. It made me like Oculus more, too. So, I don't know.
Yeah. All right. Well, Slicious Pop.
Of course, I also got the Blue Drake. So.
I know you have a raid to get to, so you can go. But thank you for coming on and answering our Boom King question.
Yeah, we're working on Double Dragon's Heroic tonight, so wish me luck.
How many
Double Dragons?
What are you guys up to now?
What does it mean?
Like 6 of 12?
We're at 5 of 12. We're at 5 of 13. We will be at 6 of 13 if we get this tonight.
Good luck.
Good luck.
And don't fuck it up.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right, bye.
Don't die.
I would just like to point out that I said hi to Salacious Pop on Real ID while we were all on the show right now.
You're just enjoying the whole thing.
I could have said hi, like, you know, right here, but I decided to do it on Real ID.
All right. Let me move on to the last email here from Phantomus. Hey, guys, just wanted to try and get a word in for the week. Extifer, I hope your Spinal Tap went well and you're doing as good as you can be. So about that guild chat chat coming to the mobile app, eh? So excited. Only $3 extra a month isn't bad. But now I need an Android or iPhone. Frown. Until next time.
Get an Android. No. Don't feed the Apple.
Do you think that, well,
monster.
I mean, the auction house works in a browser window. Why
should
I was
just going to ask
chat?
That.
Maybe it should
work. I don't see why not. I kind of hope so. I would consider doing it because, like, I mean, the thing is that right now, like, I'm already on WoW so much. But, I mean, it might be kind of cool if I'm like, you know, there's something that I need to do out of game. If they haven't done that, I hope they seriously consider implementing that because I think it would be cool. And, like, people could be at work if their workplace is the type of place that lets them be online and do stuff. Mm-hmm. That they could just pop into guild chat if there's a slow moment. And I could be like, hey, girl, to Rob if he was, like, checking his email and
no,
guild chat.
With the content filtering software would have that filtered out. It works so fast. Yeah, I know. All right. You mean we have to work at work? What is up with that? Oh, my God. All right, let's get to some tweets. Twitter.com/Hordehouse. Not a lot of time. We didn't even have a live blog this week from people. Kind of sad.
Aww.
All right, but we do have some questions. Linaya asked us on Twitter, best class to play for the fail PvPers. I would say Rogue clearly is a Rogue. I'm not answering that like Rogues fail. That's not what I'm saying. But like, what's an easy class to PvP with, or, you know, that people seem to enjoy in PvP, but Rogues can stealth and do the whole locking thing. I would say,
you know,
Rogues or Hunters.
My first character was a Rogue. I still have my Rogue. I suck at Rogue PvP. I mean, I don't know if it's changed, because it all used to be about like the stun locks and like all that stuff. You had to like really like know your theme, but I think that changed with all the health pools.
Ooh.
But I always sucked at Rogue in PvP. I suck at Rogue in PvE too, kind of. But I would say Death Knight, honestly.
Oh yeah,
especially if you're fresh out of Outlands, you just feel like a god. And I mean, I've taken my DK into mostly just like Tol'Barad and stuff, but I mean, it's pretty fun. Like, especially as a Blood Death Knight, I've heard that they're pretty beastly in arena too. So that's always a good idea.
That
and I mean,
awesome.
You know, if you start out kind of having that god mode feeling, you might be like, oh, I'm kind of more into this than on a pally where it's really being a challenge. So
my other suggestion would be, since PvP can feel like a different game sometimes, just do a druid. And then that way you can kind of try a little bit of everything, because, you know, druids can be kitties, or druids can be, you know, bears, or druids can be boomkins or trees. And that way you can kind of see what works for you. You know,
yeah, be like me and do a druid.
Yeah. In any form.
All right. That's
any and every form.
Let's see. One other. Response to the topic of the week. Did you notice we didn't have any responses to last week's topic of the week? And that would be like the worst raid boss ever. And Flacco Jones tweeted us and said, Magmadar, overused area of effect fear mechanics that plagued the bulk of Molten Core, plus Trank Shots one spell for one fight idea was dumb. So there you go. That's it for Twitter tweets tonight. Twitter.com/Hordehouse. Show us some love.
Wait, so what was the topic of the week? I would like to answer last week.
Last week, I think it was worst raid boss ever. Was it worst raid boss or worst five man? Worst boss ever. Let's just say worst boss ever.
Worst boss? I don't know. Let's see.
You know, maybe if you actually listened to this program, you would know what the topic
is. I know, right?
I only listen to the ones with myself on them. Thank you. So you should have me on every week.
Hang on.
Obviously, my adoring public wants that, so.
That was 19. Worst raid boss ever was the topic last week. Do you have a worst raid boss ever?
Worst raid boss? I'm trying to think from, like, ICC. I don't know. Rotface for a long time was the biggest pain in the ass for our guilds, but I mean, eventually we got him down. So, but for a long time, I would have said Rotface probably.
What about fucking Valyria 3 or whatever? Fuck.
Well,
her.
Actually, yeah, because I love the fight, like, conceptually, but you guys always made me be the outside healer, and I was so overwhelmed. So yeah, I would probably have to save Lithria because you never let me go in the portals.
It's not my fault. I'm a pally, and our heals are really good on that fight.
Yeah, the priests were like, oh, priests are not good for feeling the dragon. Sorry. Yeah, so maybe that would be it.
That's it for the tweets tonight, and that's it for the emails. So that means that's it for our show. We're done. We're at the end of the show. Thank you guys so much for listening to us this week. If you guys want to visit our website, hordehouse.com, or you can also visit us on Twitter, twitter.com/hordehouse, or email us, hordehousepodcast@gmail.com. And please do visit our forums at forums.hordehouse.com.
Yes, there are some entertaining posts.
There are. You made a fun post. Truly. That's right. It was good.
I did.
I like that. So go check it out.
Everyone should go by.
Unless you're a spam bot, then rotten hell.
Little side note. Yeah. Did you see our Alliance Guild site? How we had a little spam bot problem on the forum.
Already?
For
that
Guild.
Forums have been up like 2 days.
I know. So I had to take care of that. But anyway, spam bots.
Nice. All right. Let's wrap it up. By the way, if you enjoy Horde House, please tell your friends about the show. Leave us a 5-star review. Help us spread the word. We won't make you pay for the show yet. No, we're not gonna. I've done it.
$3.99 a month.
I've done OLR for 9 years and never asked for money, so don't worry.
You should charge people membership for the Horde House Guild.
No. All right. Well, I'll start with you, Sunshine. Thank you so much for coming back. I hope you had fun.
I always have fun. And it's been a pleasure.
Try not to spend another $250 before your next visit back with us. But hey,
I won't unless they put out like 10 mounts in Moonkin hatchlings or such.
It's your money. Do what you want. All right. Do you have a final thought for our listeners tonight?
I have a final thought, and my final thought is if you are a hot guy and you're listening, come on over to the Drendon server. My name's Bone Grabber, Undead Hunter, and just send me a whisper.
Sorry, it's just all of a sudden this became like, I don't know, Match.com or something. All right. Good luck with your quest for bone grabbing. All right.
Yeah.
My final thought is, I don't know if you've ever, this is going to be a really horrible thing to follow up with, but have you ever had a soda called Squirt? it's like grapefruit soda, and it's really good.
I've seen many a porn with that.
All right. I should never.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I was drinking some during the show, and I'm like, this stuff kind of made a comeback recently. I remember that when I was a kid, but.
You know what? I remember Squirt now.
Squirt's all the rage now.
We shouldn't have gone. We should all get together and have some Squirt, except no, John. We'll probably try to have the other type.
That won't be happening, John. All right. Extifer, do you have any final thoughts for our listeners tonight?
My final thought is that I did see a porn one time with a female squirting.
Oh,
and,
God.
I thought it was the
Make
weird
Make it stop.
Thing. When I saw it, it just went all over his penis. And I'm like, what is going on? Females have that ability to, like, squirt some kind of...
Yeah, but they're nerfing it in patch 4.1.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's an 8.
I read it on the PTR.
Ability. Imagine if a lady could squirt acid out of her vagina.
Could you say that in trade chat real quick? Anyone like squirt soda?
Do you want me to ask that or what Extrovert's talking
no,
about?
No, anyone like squirt soda? If you'll get banned if you ask what Extrovert is asking. All right.
Let's see. Anyone like squirt soda? Okay, someone, while I'm waiting, someone said, LOL, stack of fell iron bar on AH for 200 gold. Yeah, that's a little overpriced. Someone said, okay, Traxus, who is a, I've got to find out, he is a level 85 undead warlock, said grapefruit in a can.
Thank God, somebody knows what I'm talking about.
Is this show's subtitle going to be grapefruit in a can now?
It can be if you want.
I don't know.
I say go for it.
All right, that's
episode
it.
Episode 21, Grapefruit in a Can.
All right, good night, everybody.
Thanks, listeners.
Have a
Bye.
Wonderful week. We'll see you next time on Horde House.
Bye.